Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us for Freedom's Call this morning. As you noticed, we're not playing the theme song today. I have a two-part message that I want to play part one today, and then next week part two, Lord willing. This is the last message that I preached as pastor of Crestview Baptist Church in September of 2006. I play it because I think it would be good for the church members at Crestview to remember some of the things that God did for them during those 12 years and the victories that were won during those 12 years and the accomplishments that were successful in those 12 years. As you know, Crestview Baptist is looking for a pastor right now. Brother Clifton Igo has been supplying the pulpit for them in recent weeks. Brother Sil Moore's coming in for a few services, and then I will be also supplying the pulpit there for some time to come. And the three of us will be helping this church through these days as they search for a pastor. Now this morning we're going to play this message, which was the last message that I preached in September 2006 as pastor of Crestview Baptist Church. It's called Living on the Edge of Greatness. And the text, of course, was taken from the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, where Israel had come to the very edge of the promised land. And due to a lack of faith, they failed to cross over into the greatness of the promised land, making the decision to go back into the wilderness. I call it the wilderness of mediocrity, where they eventually died off, that older generation. And then God brought back their offspring, a younger generation, and brought them back to the promised land where they did enter the second time. So let's go now and begin this part one of this message of living in greatness. Is living on the edge of greatness. God's desire for all his churches and his people is to enter greatness. That is to reach their full potential. And that simply means, as the Army would put it, be all you can be in the surroundings that you're in. Naturally, you're not going to build a church of 5,000 here because the surroundings we're in won't permit that. But you can be all you can be if you dare make the right choice to enter into greatness. Why do I say greatness? Because our God is a great God. God is great. And he wants to bless his churches and his people with greatness. Jesus said it a little differently in the New Testament. I came to give you life, not just life, but life of abundance. That means where God opens the windows of heaven and pours out blessings so many and so rich that we can't even receive them all. And I believe the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. And so it is that that's what God wants for each one of you. That's what he wants for Crestview Baptist Church and every one of his churches. God wants those churches to be great churches. God doesn't want any puny churches. God doesn't want any anemic churches. He wants great churches that have a great vision and dare to step out by a great faith to accomplish the great goals that God puts in our heart to accomplish. Then I want to tell you that greatness is decided at the intersection of opportunity and choice. That intersection is there on the edge of greatness. Every church arrives sooner or later at that intersection and makes a choice. Do we enter greatness or do we remain in the wilderness of mediocrity? That's the choice that every church has to make. That's the choice that every believer in Jesus Christ has to make. 12 years ago, I preached this same message to you. 12 years ago, Crestview Baptist was in a desperate condition. I mean to tell you about to close the doors, I understand. There was many that had left. Their bills were hard to come by and be paid. And yet, we came in not knowing all this stuff before we let Brother Igo go before you and ask to bring me up here. He didn't tell me any of this. Eddie didn't tell me any of this when he unloaded the truck. It was only after the truck was unloaded and we came in that we began to hear some of these stories of the poor condition that Crestview Baptist Church was in. It was almost like it was in Nehemiah's day. And so it was that we had an opportunity before us. And 12 years ago, Crestview stood at this intersection of opportunity and choice. And thanks be unto Almighty God, the church chose greatness. We left the wilderness and we entered into greatness. 69 additions the first year, many souls saved, many baptized, many joined our church family, and God blessed us with great resources. We set the pace for the rest of the association in those days. We had the judgment house that brought hundreds of people in from not only here, but from Seminole and from different county, Brownfield, and around the whole area. People came to the judgment house, 50 some odd decisions made for Jesus Christ during that time. In fact, just this week, I had a lady come to the church who was our hospice nurse for Elaine. And she said, I've never seen the auditorium except when we came to the judgment house. And she lived in O'Donnell. So I showed her through the church and everything. And I told her, I said, that was either the robe room or heaven's room. I heard this was heaven room and that was robe room. This was the tornado scene. And back in that corner was hell. And believe me, they made hell look real between Steve Payson and Terry Flanagan. He scared the living dog out of everybody that went in there. We had people screaming and running out of there. And this was a great ministry. And one of the leaders at the First Baptist Church said, you know, we should have done that. We should have done that. But Crestview stepped out by faith and we did it. Oh, it was expensive. I mean, very expensive. I remember Ken Wiley going out and getting the cost of this thing and coming back, and we swallowed two or three times and said, let's do it. But we had people willing to work in those days. We stepped out by faith and put on a great ministry for three nights, I believe it was. And then I remember, Tony, I believe you was with us that night, that four or five of us got in a car and went to Big Spring to look at the living nativity scene at the Nazarene Church. Are you Nazarene? At the Nazarene Church over there, remember that? And we drove through that driveway looking at all that scenery and the living characters and all that. And I said, guys, there's not a reason in the world why people from La Mesa have to drive to Big Spring or Lubbock to see something like this. We can do this sort of thing. Well, the first year, we just did one scene out there. And then it began to grow until it was nine scenes. Some nights it was so blooming cold that you couldn't hardly stay out there. The angels up on the steeple and the wind blowing had to hang on with icicles running off their nose practically. 20-something degrees and the wind blowing, and you got an angel standing on top of the steeple. I still remember one night Elaine was on the steeple as an angel, and I came by with Grandma and Daniel, and I rolled down the window and I whistled at her. I said, how about a date, honey? She said, get lost. I tell you, those were good days, but we put on a ministry to the community that became a tradition, and the community was blessed. First year, we put the little wagon out there with Jesus going up to Golgotha and Coleman really getting into the act and breaking swords and breaking the cross, hitting it so hard and everything. Little boy came through with somebody and he started crying. He said, Mama, why are they beating him? And Mama got to tell him the story of Jesus. We had people that sat in their cars right out here and watched Danny Scott and Charlie, Jesus ascending, would sit there holding up things. Now remember that carload of colored people that came through? Those guys sat up there in that car and they said, that's a dummy, man. And I don't remember if it was Charlie or whether it was Danny, but they could hear this conversation. He said, "No, that's no dummy, man. That's a real living man. No, that's a dummy. Look, he ain't moving, he ain't none of that." And I said, "I wish one of you to look down and say, boom." But this was fascinating. We told the whole life of Jesus with 9 scenes. A great ministry that reached down to our people. I want to guarantee you, but a few years before this, this church could have never done that. But because it made a decision in 1994 to leave the wilderness of mediocrity and enter into greatness, great things were able to be accomplished in this church. We had great meetings with Dr. Joel Gregory, who filled this thing up every night. Every time he preached for us, which was on 2 or 3 different occasions, this place was packed out with people from Big Spring, people from around the area, and our own town, and we had great numbers of people. We had a great meeting with Vern Jackson, a singer from California. Once in a while, you may see him on Trinity Network. I met him at the airport taking Dr. Gregory back to the airport. And as we were checking Dr. Gregory into the motel at the Ramada Inn over at the airport so he could catch an early flight out, these two guys came in and they stood behind us, and this one guy started talking trash to me, cutting up, cutting me down. Of course, I replied, you know me. And so we're sitting there cutting each other down and one thing and another. And so I took Joel Gregory's books to his room and came back. And I threw another bar about there, and this guy threw one back, and I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Vern Jackson." I said, "I've heard of you. I think I've even seen you on TV once or twice." I said, you're Vern Jackson, yeah. He said, "You ever have singers at your church?" And I said, "Yeah, sometimes." He said, "Can I come to your church?" And I said, "Can you sing?" Vern said, "Yeah, I'll try to." I said, "Where do you live?" He said, "California."
Well, that was the beginning of part two. We're not going to have time to finish it today, so we invite you to tune in again next week. We'll pick up with Vern Jackson coming to Crestview in that year, and boy, he filled the auditorium, one of the best services that we had in a long, long time there. It was a tremendous service. His music, his testimony, and just a great thing. And we'll be into some other things next week on this broadcast. We're telling you these stories to encourage the folks at Crestview Baptist Church as they look for a new pastor. You know, they've got great days ahead of them if they get the right man. And I believe God has the right man for them. And they're praying about that right now. So you pray with them that God's going to give them the right man to be their pastor and lead them to further victories and to lead them into this area of greatness. Now, I want to say to you that I think Brother Seal Moore will be preaching today at Crestview. I'm not sure about that, but I believe so. But if you don't have a church home, we invite you to go over and attend the services at Crestview Baptist Church. I'll be preaching, I believe, the morning of July 10th, and then again on the 17th, I'll be doing some services on that weekend as well. And also, there's other churches in the association in La Mesa that need pastors, and we want you to be praying for them as well. Well, that's all the time that we have today, and I thank you for joining us. I believe you're going to enjoy part two of this last message that I preached as pastor of Crestview Baptist Church in September of 2006. Lord willing, that'll be next week. All right, have a great day, and Lord willing, as I said, we'll visit with you again next Sunday at this same time.